Welcome to The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. And now, your host,
Jerry Tridle.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. That's the best days of the kingdom of God. And we're going to do a summary on the topic, the Antichrist, 666, and the mark of the beast. All of these concepts go together, as we'll show you, and it culminates in Revelation chapter 13, which I think is going to be a pivotal passage, so we'll look at that real quickly. But I would encourage you, if you haven't already, pick up a copy of our book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead, because what we're focusing on is what the church has believed since the beginning as she's grown in her understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ since the first century. And many of those church fathers did not presume that they were living in the last days, all right? They knew also that the destruction of Jerusalem and what happened in that first century was pivotal. And many today, both historians and theologians, are saying that one of the most significant events of church history was the prophesied coming of the Lord in judgment upon Jerusalem in AD 70, prior to the 3.5-year Great Tribulation, or prior to that destruction of Jerusalem, was a 3.5-year tribulation called the Great Tribulation. Many today think that that's either now or in the future, and that would be historically erroneous. And when you look at the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're going to see that when we look right at chapter 13. You're going to see, first of all, that there are two beasts in Revelation 13, and they are symbolic. The first beast arising out of the sea being the beast that Daniel spoke of, and that is the Empire of Rome. Fierce, it amalgamated all of the cultures before it, such as the Hellenistic culture of Greece. And out of this beast, which had 10 kings and the seven hills of Rome are identified in the Revelation. You also see the 10 kings, which would have been the 10 emperors. The fifth one, which existed during the giving of the Revelation to John, St. John, on the Isle of Patmos, and that emperor was Caesar Nero. Okay, you had Julius Caesar, you had Tiberius, then you had, Julius Caesar, Augustus, then Tiberius, then Caligula, Claudius, and then the one that now was, which was Caesar Nero. And what we'll see with Caesar Nero is that under this particular Caesar was the most severe persecution that the world had ever known with regard to Christians. And his target was the Christians, and he desired to project his alleged guilt of setting Rome on fire upon the innocent Christians. And the punishment for fire setting was execution. And so we see Caesar Nero, who it was thought he wanted to burn the city to the ground in order to rename it Neropolis after himself. So he was considered the incredible Cupitor, the lover of that which was unbelievable. Unbelievable with regard to his appetite for self-aggrandizement. He wanted to glorify himself in Rome and its buildings and its pagan temples and such. But he was also unbelievable with regard to his lustful appetite, and I'm talking perverted appetites. He was a ravenous homosexual rapist. He would don or put on animal clothing and attack prisoners, male and female, in the dungeons for sport. He kicked his wife Pompey to death with his child, and he finally committed suicide. And this is where the revelation shows that the head, one of the heads, the Caesars, was actually mortally wounded, but then rises again. See, with Nero actually committing suicide, the thought was Rome would collapse, but it didn't. There were three subsequent emperors, Galba, Otho, and Vitellius, and then finally Vespasian, who sent his son Titus to Judea, who surrounded Jerusalem, pleaded to the Jews, the apostate Jews, not those Jews who had become Christian, but those who had apostatized from the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and the laws of God, apostatized in order to league themselves with Rome, but then eventually rebelled against Rome. Titus wanted them to relent, but when they would not, he put a siege mound around the city of Jerusalem. Prior to that happening, the Christians departed, just as Jesus warned them. When you see the armies surround Jerusalem, head for the mountains, which the Christians did, and they held out in the summer palace of Herod Agrippa II. And you can see that in many church historian documents, including Eusebius's History of the Christian Church or Ecclesiastical History. You can see that clearly there. Josephus writes a lot about this in his Wars of the Jews, and you can see that in our book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. So this Caesar Nero had a tremendous appetite for wickedness. He was a very wicked man who actually murdered himself. He thought the whole world was a comedy and that he played a major role in all of this, you know, a tragedy among the Greeks. He thought that the world was simply a stage, and he would put pitch on them or tar and then light them on fire so that the gardens of his parties would have light. So he was a very wicked man, and this man had a number associated with him that would require wisdom, as Revelation, the last verse there in Revelation 13 speaks, and it was 666. So when you look at Nero's name, Caesar Nero, and you look at the consonants in his name, which is how it would be spelled in Hebrew, because Hebrew has consonants and then vowel pointings. But when you look at the numerical value of Caesar Nero, you do get 666. And I'll show you right now, you'll see on the screen there, that there were numerical values to both Hebrew and Greek, because Revelation would have been written in Koine Greek or Kina Greek. And you would also note in this particular rendering of 666, you see the chi there, which is the first letter in the word Christ. And then on the third letter there, you see the sigma or stigma, which is also the first letter in the cross, staron. And you'll notice the epsilon in the center there, which many historians and those who look at this, they say it represents the snake in the middle of them both, Christ the King and the cross and the snake in between, trying to stop that cross and the redemption of the world. Found that quite interesting. But when you look at the Hebrew, and we'll put that up right now, you'll see that in the Hebrew, which is read from right to left, Neron Caesar, which is how his name perhaps would have been spelled, which totals 666. We'll put that there. Thank you to the late David Chilton, who wrote much about this in his commentary on the Revelation called Days of Vengeance, one of the most astounding commentaries that I've ever read. It's difficult to put down. It doesn't bog you down in a lot of Greek and Hebrew, but it gives you enough. But you also get the sense of what the church has spoken. So Caesar Nero was the one. He was the one who was given life by the second beast in the Revelation, in Revelation 13, which is one that looks like a sheep or a goat with horns and was a false prophet. And this is none other than apostate Jerusalem and its rulers. And what this particular beast did, which was like a wolf in sheep's clothing, if you will, this particular beast would excommunicate from the synagogues and from the community, especially from Jerusalem, anyone who would have named the name of Christ. So what this beast would have done, it would have commanded that Rome have its obeisance. Remember, the apostate Jews at the praetorium, at the judgment of Christ with the procurator, Pontius Pilate, remember, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." Remember, Pontius Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar." So what that did is it showed that their allegiance, their thoughts, words, their deeds were not in humility to Yahweh God, to fear God and accept the Messiah, Jesus. Their loyalties were to the emperor himself. And that was because of the peer pressure of the rulers of the Jews. And the people feared them. That was the whole world, you know, to the Jew at the time. And so because of that fear, they gave their allegiance to the image of the beast, Caesar Nero, and to the beast itself. And what was more interesting is the next thing that occurred is Pilate says, "I wipe my hands of his blood." And then usually what you'll hear if you're in a Palm Sunday service in a sacerdotal or a mainline church or a Catholic church, you'll hear these words, "His blood," which is what the apostate Jews yelled out, "His blood, Jesus' blood, be upon us and our children." And so although our Lord Jesus wanted to gather, like a mother hen would her chicks, all of the Jews who had received the promises and the covenant of God together under the Lordship of Christ and into the kingdom, they would not. Therefore, as Jesus prophesied, their city was left to them desolate. So the man whose number was 666 was Caesar Nero. So the image of the beast, the Antichrist that John spoke of, who was already in the world when he spoke those words in 1 John chapter 4, has already passed. It's done. It's gone. No more image of the beast in the future. All right? Christ prevailed. Now, when it comes to the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast is an interesting satanic parody of the sealing of God. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And you can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you can see that in verses 10 through 13, the strong exhortation of St. Paul to Timothy to get the church to stay steadfast in keeping the law of God in their heart, doing what is right, overcoming, developing nurture, virtue and love, thereby showing forth that they were sealed of God because they maintained the testimony of Christ. If you ever go to Hebrews chapter 10, what is interesting is that those who had confessed Christ had to endure severe persecution in Hebrews chapter 10, and it was written to the Hebrews, many of whom were in Jerusalem, and they were told, "You have no continuing city here in Jerusalem." In other words, it was doomed. So what was stated, possibly by Paul, who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, is this. He says, "But recall the former days," this I'm reading in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 32, "recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heavens. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." And he's speaking of the coming of the Lord, the parousia of the Lord, which we speak of in our six episodes of The Last Days Are Behind Us. So you can check those out after this particular effort. But those Christians had to do what was written by Moses many centuries, if not millennia, before. And you can see this on page 99 in the book, in my book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, The Best Days Are Ahead. And what I'm doing is I'm showing you this aspect of Mark of the Beast, okay? The Mark of the Beast has to do with loyalty, mind, will, and emotions, and works of the hands, loyal to the emperor, loyal to the state, loyal to another lord other than Jesus Christ. And especially during this first century, you might remember, and I'm reading from Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 20. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes," signifying the forehead. "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You might remember, maybe in your Sunday school class or at some time you were reading Exodus, the Passover. So when the children of Israel were in Goshen in Egypt, and God was going to send the death angel over all of Egypt in the evening, and those who had heard the words of the prophet Moses and did what he said and splashed the blood of the Passover lamb across the threshold of the door, the death angel, whose only job it was to obey the will of God, the death angel would pass over that house because they were sealed. They were marked. Their thoughts, words, and deeds and the works of their hands displayed the fact that they were loyal to Yahweh God. Yahweh God, who would become Jesus in the flesh, right? So when it comes to being marked throughout sacred scripture and redemptive history, one who confesses Christ from the heart, mind, will, and emotions filled with his words, and does what he says, loving God with all their heart, loving their neighbor as themselves, and holding to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even if they were cast out, poor, even hearing the cries of their hungry children because the other Jews or pagans wouldn't give them work because they didn't worship the gods of their guilds in Pergamos or Thyatira or Laodicea, all those churches of Asia Minor, written in the Revelation in the front in chapters 2 and 3. If you heard the sound of the cries of your hungry children, you'd have to say, listen, this is the reproach we are bearing, that we not bear the mark of loyalty to the emperor. The emperor would take a father or mother right out of the house, sometimes with infants suckling at the breasts of their mother, and throw them to the lions. The question is, do you then continue to confess the Lord, or do you apostatize and renounce him? That's where St. Paul in that 2 Timothy passage says, if we are faithless, if we deny him, he will deny us. And so that's where the tribulation was so severe that Jesus said, if the days were not cut short, even the very elect could perish. So with regard to Caesar Nero and his persecution, and with regard to the complicit nature of the false prophet, apostate Jerusalem, bringing these Christians and pulling them out of their houses, economically boycotting them, and then turning them in for execution. Even St. Paul, you might recall, was given orders to go and execute the Christians until Christ himself halted his pugilistic, violent nature and converted his heart. This is depicting the marks of those who are either sealed by God with his mark or possess the mark of the beast. Those who said, we have no king but Caesar, and had no intention of following the Lord, had the mark of the beast. So, the mark of the beast has nothing to do with an electronic data interchange tattoo or an integrated circuit or a vaccine or any of these fantastical, almost Saturday morning cartoon descriptions. Let's get real about this. The scriptures, they are a book of covenant that the church has preserved. Those who were loyal to the emperor, those who were loyal to the Sanhedrin and remained in the city of Jerusalem and rejected the Christ who said, when you see the armies surround Jerusalem, get out. If they rejected that message, they would have been among the over 1 million Jews who perished in that city. Mothers eating their children because there was no food. The Sicarii Jews who were stabbing. They would dress up as women in the marketplaces within Jerusalem and just go around haphazardly stabbing other individuals for sport. This was a wicked time. In fact, Josephus, in his Wars of the Jews, stated that if Titus had not destroyed the city, he said the very ground itself would have opened up to swallow such a wicked city. Jesus referred to it as demon-possessed. He cleaned the city when he was there. But he said that a devil goes out of a man, goes into the desert in arid places, finding no rest, comes back and takes seven other demons more stronger than he. And the estate of that man, in the end, is worse than the first. And that's what happened to Jerusalem. It was destroyed, leveled to the ground, and all of those who had the mark of the beast of Rome, whose loyalty was to the emperor, and who had no place in their hearts or their works for the Lord Jesus, they were marked with the mark of the beast. And that beast, the image, was Caesar Nero, whose number was that of a man, 666. So, spoiler alert, that's that. You can see more on our website at justjerry.com. And we hope that you find the book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. It speaks of these things, but it's all in the context that we're now living under the reign of our King and Lord Jesus Christ. And so now it's a time to rejoice, to worship God, to plant ourselves in His church, and to bear forth the fruit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we show forth our election. We show forth that we are the sealed of God because, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we have, you can see one of our bonus videos and podcasts on that, has to do with making our calling and election sure. And that is, we add to our faith virtue, knowledge, godliness, self-control, brotherly kindness, and love. And if we do these things, we show forth that we are the sealed of God. And we don't represent in any way, shape, or form those who were loyal to the state or who were loyal to the emperor or Caesar Nero of the first century. I hope that helps you. So now put off the fear of a future great tribulation. Put off the fear that you're going to get marked with the beast and you're going to get an integrated circuit put in your brain and you're going to go to hell because of it. Seriously, folks, get the book. It will lead you to other sources that you'll build your strength and your assurance in faith in the one who reigns, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you read the Revelation, you need to come away from that book not thinking how big and powerful the devil is. You come away knowing that he's bound with regard to blinding the nations, and that now the Spirit of God's given to us to go forth and proclaim that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead. You can write us at jerry@justjerry.com. You can pick up Jerry's book, The Last Days Are Behind Us, Our Best Days Are Ahead, at bookstores everywhere. Access our videos, podcasts, blogs, as well as free papers and materials at justjerry.com. Join us next time as we drive the conversation to the truth that Jesus Christ is King and His kingdom rules over all and is expanding over the earth in these days. Fear God, keep His commandments, and abound in love.